Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New York City jazz singer and songwriter Nahma Gaber. On the 2022 single, Old Mother Hubbard, and her upcoming album that will be out later this year. We caught up with her in April of 2020 initially to talk about her previously released album called Dearly Beloved, and that met a COVID world and the shock of no live shows. Now the world is in a different place and live shows are back on track. She is ecstatic, and we had a great talk about her new material, surviving COVID, the hopeful future, and so much more. Enjoy.
Hey, thank you for reaching out. Thanks for the music. It's great to hear from you again.
Yes, you too. Thanks for listening to it and having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing that's interesting about this whole, like, two-year pandemic is I clearly remember we spoke in the very beginning of this when we just had no idea what was going on.
We were so clueless. I think I was recovering from COVID, actually, when I spoke to you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird because I did a whole lot of interviews, like really more than I ever did at that time. And there was a saxophone player that told me he had it, and it was the first person that told me he had it, because the way this virus is undulated, it's like in the beginning, it was like not a lot of people had it. You kind of heard about it, and then it started to kind of steamroll. And, you know, I got it that November of 2020.
Oh, after that, yeah. Crazy. I mean, now everybody seems to have been sick already, but we had it like at March. New York was really hit at the beginning.
Yeah, well, and I guess that's the whole idea. I remember, you know, hearing about the whole, you know, herd immunity thing and all of that. I think there's a part of that that is probably going to ring true, because Fauci even said at one point, you know, most everybody out there is going to get this. That's just the way it is. So hopefully we beat it. But my question to you is, you know, I know we talked about this in the beginning, but how did things kind of materialize for you? How did you keep things moving in the right direction creatively and just overall to keep moving?
Oh my God. Well, I don't, honestly, probably everybody feels that way. Like, I feel like there were artists that really did an amazing job throughout the pandemic. And like, I don't know, just people like Emmett Cohen, for example, who now have this amazing thing going still just because of the live stream situation at the time. And people like Nicole Doretta, there were people that like did an amazing job. I didn't feel like I was doing that exactly, because I was also working for, I still am, for Smalls by Foundation and Smalls and Measure Jazz Clubs. So I kind of threw myself into helping Special Man, who's the owner, kind of keep those places going. We did a lot of stuff with the foundation at the time. And I was just trying to sing as much as possible. You know, the first few months it was definitely at home. I think I did a little bit of live streaming. And then I did my best to get little gigs. When New York kind of reopened, there was like outdoor dining during the summer. So I live streamed all my performances then too, just to try to, you know, kind of get a little bit of the music out there. Worked a lot on my own stuff, on my practicing. I learned how to play the shaker. So now one of the songs on my upcoming that I'm going to be releasing has even like that kind of percussion in it. I was just trying to better my craft while working and doing my best to kind of stay in the loop. I don't know. It's hard to say. It kind of sucks, honestly, to look back and realize it's been, you know, for the most part of at least a year was really hard to feel like anything was advancing musically. So.
I understand. Yeah. And it's weird because it's almost as though this 2 years has been a blur. I mean, it's not like it's gone by fast, but the mental photograph of everything has just been kind of blurry and, you know, almost like, and the weird thing is that everybody, it almost seems like not even physically, but emotionally and mentally, we've aged like a president, you know, like 1 year has been four, or like a dog, whatever, you know, it's like,
so true.
You know, we've just stretched time. So I guess my next question to you is, over this time of self-reflection and quarantine, what did you learn about yourself over this time that maybe you didn't realize before that will make you stronger now that live shows are opening up, you have singles and a new album coming out?
Right. A lot of things. I think like a lot of people, I realize how I want to be living my life. New York is crazy. The amount of stuff that goes on here, and that we, at least I used to deal with on a daily basis, was nuts. I'm still obviously doing a lot of stuff, but I think just the physical aspect of running from place to place and, you know, not having a second to really think about what it is that you're doing and why and if you want to be doing it, that was something that the pandemic allowed me to do. So I realized what pace I needed things to move in. You know, I was teaching a lot, for example, which I'm now still teaching, but only, you know, a different kind of student. It took a second, but it definitely allowed me this time to realize what it is that I wanted to create. And then it did lead eventually to this really cool, I think, cool project that I'm releasing in the upcoming months. First single comes out in April. And it, you know, it just allowed me to like focus on the right songs that I wanted to do and, you know, the right way I wanted to deliver them. And we did shoot a video as well. The whole video aspect of releasing music, I think that became over the past 2 years because of how much we're all even more in our screens now than we were before. That became something really important. I think it's hard to release music now and really, you know, if you want to really reach the right amount of people, you do need to have like a video element to it. So that was something that I realized throughout this time that was important and added it to this release as well. But yeah, I think just to sum it up, the importance of specific things became central to me, I guess, more than it was before, thanks to the shift in how I was thinking.
Well, so speaking of the new album, the new single, Old Mother Hubbard, coming out on April 22nd, which is kind of the precursor. So it obviously has to feel good to be able to have material out and the chance to perform it live.
So good. Exactly. That's what I didn't get with the last album, because I worked so hard on the whole recording and release and everything, and then all my shows were canceled.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, on one hand, I don't know, it got a lot of attention because people, I guess, had time to check things out. Yeah, that was a bummer. So now it's fun because I feel like I have a lot of shows happening, and I actually had to be like, oh, I'm going to wait to sing these songs for my release, you know, around the release time, so that I can, it's just to have that option is really fun. So yeah, now it's going to be April 2nd, and my shows are going to be more focused on the songs that I'm going to be releasing and the next, I think, upcoming month. And like you said, Old Mother Hubbard first. I love it. It's just a great tune and very fun. Well, Old Mother Hubbard is, it's a nursery rhyme. I heard Ella Fitzgerald sing it a couple of years ago. Immediately fell in love. I absolutely love singing deep, emotional, sad songs. I live for them, basically. I love feeling stuff on stage when an audience feels it too, and I love that. That being said, though, the relief of just having something that's plain fun, that doesn't have too much depth in it, is amazing too, especially, you know, when it comes at times that are difficult. I recorded, like I said, a few songs, but the decision to go with Old Mother Hubbard, especially in this, you know, time, it felt like we were out of the pandemic, maybe a little bit, but then, you know, everything else that's going on in the world just made me think that it probably would be the best to just do a very uplifting, fun, joyful song that kind of brings us back to being a child, where you're not necessarily aware of all the terrible things that are going on, and just thought everybody could use a moment to be a kid for the 2 minutes that the song goes on for, at least. So that's why I chose to release that one right now.
And, you know, you kind of had mentioned, too, that this is a part of a collection of songs that you really carefully picked, and it's fun, and you're looking forward to it. So talk to me about the rest of the album and when that will be released?
My new plan for now that I feel like life is completely back, or as back as it can be, is I'm basically going to be releasing smaller albums, like what we call EPs. So the first one is going to come out in November. It has 7 songs on it. I was really fortunate to record them with the support of a very wonderful foundation called the Mumuki Foundation, led by a great, great person named Jeff Hofer. They donated this beautiful penthouse that we actually just went in to record the tunes, videoed them as well, by a great vocalist and great artist named Marky and De Silva, who did a great job with the videos. After Old Mother Hubbard, every 6 weeks or so, there's going to be another single coming out. Songs are different in style, so it's going to be interesting. Spoiler is that the next tune that's going to be released is not very uplifting and actually dramatic and sad, so there's going to be that contrast, which I'm excited about. And then we're finally after, I think it's going to be like 5 singles, the album's going to come out with an extra 2 tracks. It's going to take a short break for the holidays, but there's going to be more in January of 2023, so there's like this whole plan of new releases over the next basically couple of years, so it's going to be fun.
So, yeah, absolutely. Well, but yeah, and I guess that's my other part of this thinking is, you know, the jazz community reemerges. You're talking about releasing this in a way that you haven't before. And I think a lot of musicians are going to approach their craft and the business side and overall in a way that's different. So my question to you is, how are you going to approach things maybe in a different way that will be more beneficial? And how do you see the jazz community? I mean, being in the largest jazz community on the planet, how do you see that reemerging stronger?
That's a great question, because it's definitely something that I've been thinking about and kind of shifting my, I guess, plan accordingly. The kind of music that I do, yeah, it's definitely jazz. It's approachable, though, I think, and I think there are audiences out there that don't necessarily know that they like jazz, but the kind of music that I do, and because I'm a singer and it has lyrics, I think there is a broad audience that can become accustomed to this beautiful art form that just doesn't know it. To reach them, I realized that, you know, the jazz community, because we are doing music that originated earlier in times, not all of it has evolved with how crazy the evolvement of like the whole, like I mentioned earlier, the whole video, you know, scene and the social media scene. And I don't know, every day there's like a new app that has a different way to show your videos on. I'm not even up to date, but I just realized that the business plan needs to be more inclusive of these new tools that emerged. And so I'm really trying to do my best to utilize all these crazy tools to get my music out there to more people and just expose more people to this, I think, great art form. So that is why, that's basically why this new way of releasing is what I'm trying out. I do think, I do see more people doing it. It's definitely something that's been happening with at least the younger artists. And I hope it keeps going that way, because it's really, there's so many bad things about how the world looks, like the whole social media thing, and there's so many not good messages out there that I just think, you know, if we could get the attention of at least a little bit of people who maybe would have been doing other things with their TikToks and now can, you know, see this really great music, you know, about a dog, which is Old Mother Hubbard, for example. I feel like it's another way of spreading good and positivity and culture, you know, in this not so great time.
Well, and I guess the one thing that's hopeful right now is that we're at the end of this pandemic, hopefully. We're getting back to live shows. So as a performer, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music that we've largely been away from for about 2 years now?
I love that you're asking this, because I remember that you asked like, we literally asked the opposite question 2 years ago when we were like, what I think we were saying, like, what was going, like, no, you asked with all the live streaming, what are people going to value about live performances?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are 2 years later. Oh my God. I have to say that it's my live performances since the pandemic have been, I mean, there has been an extra element to it. It's just, it's like there's the extra feeling of, oh my God, like, you guys are all here. You're looking at me. I see your eyes and you see mine. I can see the reaction to what I'm doing. And it's just, it was always magical. It's just taken such a, it's just like become so much bigger, the experience of singing to a fully engaged audience. And I think for the audiences too, I see it all the time. You know, I mean, it's still, it's been a few, you know, I don't know. It's been a year, I guess, that we've been doing like live shows in some kind of capacity. But in New York, there's, you know, there's tourists that are coming for the first time because there's all these countries that they weren't, people weren't traveling. And they come to New York and they sit at a jazz club and then they'll be like, wow, like we finally came here after so long and this is the first show that we're seeing. And they're just so appreciative. And it's just so amazing to be able to give people that experience. And this, you know, what it gives back to me as a performer, getting the energy and the emotions from the audience. It's just, it's really made everything that I, all the reasons that I chose to do this with my life, like, so much bigger, it feels. So that's, yeah, I mean, it's really valuable. hard to even describe with words, but it's just like, yeah, it's the feeling of seeing people look at you and look at the back is just very, it's crazy because we would never have thought that would be an issue.
And it's funny because this is the second time I spoke to someone today that I saw live in Kansas City 2 weeks ago at the Blue Room, and there was a Women in Jazz celebrating National Women's Month last month, and they had these noon presentations, and someone was talking about going to the college, UMKC here, and they just literally couldn't get the words out to explain what it was like to, again, be around that many people, you know? And I think it's a phenomenon, but I think that a part of this, too, is that, especially for jazz being such a small piece of this larger music puzzle that we are all involved with, I think it can only benefit and make it more enriching and, like you said, be kind of the reason why you got into this in the first place.
That's so true. It's that, and it's also just, there's, I think, going through a crazy trauma that's super collective, and this is, like, the most collective, like, the most, you know, everybody went through it. It's just, like, there's a different feeling when you come back together and, you know, doing something that no one has been able to do for so long, and just all understanding that we all were so affected by this same thing. It just, I think, you know, music connects people, but, like, this is just another, like you said, another level of connection that we now experience that we didn't have before.
Absolutely. And I think there's going to be a better appreciation for it as we move forward. So, so before we get off here, tell everybody kind of a timeline and where they can pick up the new music so we get it out there in the appropriate way.
So April 22nd is the first release of the first single, which is going to be Old Mother Hubbard. It's going to be released on all the streaming platforms as well as all the social media platforms, which is going to be like on my Instagram, Facebook, on the YouTube channel. It's actually available for pre-save now. So if, you know, people can literally go anywhere on, you can write my name in Google and you'll find a way to pre-save the music. After that, there's just going to be every 6 weeks, and it's all going to be updated everywhere on my website or on all the social media pages. There's going to be a single every between 5 to 6 weeks that's going to be released. When finally November 4th is the release of the EP, in which all 7 songs are going to be available. it's going to be only available digitally for the moment. Yeah. But my other album is still available. I always joke in shows that I can, if they need, people need coasters to put their coffee on with my face on it, then they can get a physical album.
Yeah.
It's like most people, unfortunately, are buying it for souvenirs now, and because they have nowhere to put it, especially in New York, nobody drives, so no one has a CD player in their car. Yeah, so it's gonna be. But the If I Knew Then is the name of the EP, and that and all other singles are gonna be available everywhere, every streaming platform that you could think of. It's there, and it's also like you could purchase it on Amazon as well.
Well, I will tell you, being in Kansas City, we're a commuter town. I still like to have the CD and listen to it while I'm driving and sing. So it's a good vessel for me, but you know, it's becoming an outdated technology. So
sadly, I don't know. Maybe if I hear more people like you talk to me, maybe I'll decide to like print a few copies of mailing them out. But at the moment, I think it's just going to be digital.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the way I see it. This is the weird thing about the music industry. If tapes can come back, anything can come back.
That's true. You're right.
I get vinyl. I mean, I get that warm liquid sound. But tapes are just something that, like, I guess it's a hip thing, but it's like from a functional, like auditory standpoint, I'm not getting it. So
yeah, you're right.
It's so weird.
So flawed. But, yeah.
Yeah. Totally flawed, yeah. So, but at any rate, it was great to catch up with you. This has been really kind of a full circle event. I clearly remember when we spoke the first time and just not knowing what was going to happen and being in shock. And now we're talking in a very different place, kind of on the end of this. So hopefully we can keep this on our calendar and talk when things are even better down the line.
I know. I'm wondering what's going to happen, like, the next time we talk.
Oh, my God.
Where are we going to be?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's the thing I think that, I don't know, there's a level of it that's exciting and haunting at the same time. So.
Exactly. Yeah. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
Being on the show again. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. Take care.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Nama for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Here's a bone and it has a piece of meat. Bring me some meat.
Neon Jazz.